That's our intro.
Hello everyone and welcome to Bioscope Brasa. This is the show with two Brasa talk movie news, reviews, shorts and some cock in between. My name is Ross.
And I'm Trudy.
We're going to India for some revenge.
Yeah. Oh, is it?
Ooh, ah.
It's still blowing.
The wind is it's blowing for the first time in this episode.
Yeah. Can you believe it? It's gonna blow so hard it'll go right next through to next week.
Next week, yeah, no, but it is hectic. Blew my electricity off. We're in an undisclosed location. We're safe. Wind here.
We have been marked safe from the gale force winds. Facebook tried.
That bloody gale. Yeah.
So and we're going to gale now about this thing also.
Yeah, we're going to gale a mozo. But before we do that, let's get into the news.
Our news and shorts.
James Bond.
Yeah.
Bond. Very successful franchise running for over 90 years or whatever. Yeah, long time.
By vegetarians, eh?
Vegetarians, the Brooklies. I am a fan. Nice roast, call it. But the Brooklies, they have a big job on their hands, right? Because after the success of the Daniel Craig movies, the first question everyone asks, who's going to play the next Bond?
Yeah. And I think that because of how they ended that franchise, it's probably the most interest there's been in who's going to play Bond for quite some time.
Yeah, because spoiler alert, if you didn't know, at the end of that franchise, the first time ever, they kill him. The Bond
They killed him dead.
Yeah.
Like really dead.
And then people are still talking about the fact that Moshana Lynch was the new 007. Yeah. And I'm like, she wasn't the new 007. Mm. First of all, I wouldn't have a problem with that.
Yeah. There's nothing wrong with
Second of all, he was pushed to the side, retired, and she took over the 007 moniker. It was they weren't trying to replace him before all you f***ing racists get upset. But even so,
racist, sexist douchebags.
Did they not watch the film? No. Like he anyway.
But there was a black woman doing a white man's job.
Yeah, how dare she?
How dare she?
So anyway, who's the next Bond? What do we know so far, Joey?
So not officially confirmed. But from all the reporting that we've seen, the role has been offered to Aaron Taylor-Johnson.
Yeah.
Aaron. Oh, he's not Australian, so.
No.
Don't quite know why.
But he was groomed.
Yeah. Still is. Yeah.
No, he's too far in now.
We have got a 33-year-old British actor who's been offered the role. So, the youngest Bond for quite some
time. Youngest Bond.
But also, if this is the casting, I'm down.
I'm down. I like down. Chinatown. The casting is only one part of it because, okay, we know Aaron Taylor-Johnson can be charming, he can be handsome, he can be physical, he can do all the Bond things. We know he has the minerals.
And I don't think a lot of people know he's British because he generally does American characters.
Yeah, Kick-Ass was his breakout thing.
Kick-Ass, we play Quicksilver in the MCU.
He can do a Russian.
But we've got Bullet Train. Where he does have his British accent. So for those who doubt, go watch that movie and check out some
You
British.
Can see he's full of charisma.
Yeah.
My curiosity lies with, are they going to go back to like gadgets and chutas, you know?
And do they retell his first kill?
No.
The stuff that they've done with Daniel Craig.
This is
now,
a Spider-Man situation. You don't go back to
you
the origin.
You can't.
So I just want to know what tone they're going to go for and what kind of Bond he's going to be, you know? Are we going to have these bombastic villains with weird origins and body deformities, and do they throw hats or shoes or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that's what I'm
interested
in.
Do their pussies galore?
And
it's such a good question because Pierce Brosnan's Bond kind of forced him into Daniel Craig's Bond, right? Where that franchise went.
Yes, it did.
But now I feel that there's more room for a clean slate approach because he's died. They're starting wherever they want to start now.
Yeah.
So what you going to do?
What you going to do? And is it even possible to bridge the gap between something like Casino Royale and something like Kingsman? You know what I mean? Where it's that crazy cookie spy stuff or a more grounded thing. Like, can they find a
happy medium?
Oh,
whatever they do, you've got to settle on it and you've got to go for it. Don't try and please everyone here. They've got to decide on this is the approach we're going to have and then quit.
Because I do think that he can do both.
I think he's proven that he's, like, Kick-Ass is, I mean, that's Matthew Vaughn doing Matthew Vaughn stuff. And he then also, obviously, he's done the Kingsman franchise. So sensibility-wise, you've got some similarities.
Yeah, but I'm excited. If this does go through, if they find a deal and he's announced as the Bond, then yeah, I'm excited for it.
Mm-hmm.
We will revisit 007 again. Hadley's going to be very happy.
Get Hadley back.
Yeah, Hadley will be happy as long as they don't bring Sam Smith back. Okay, we watched Matrix. What was that one called? Resurrections. We did a review on that. You can go back and listen to it if you want to. Spoiler alert, we did not enjoy that.
Yeah, you don't even have to go back and listen
to it. I'm okay. You can go listen to why we didn't enjoy it. But in our opinion, it was not a good film.
Mm.
And I thought we're done.
Yes. Very much, right?
Yeah.
I was so certain we were done that when this article came out, I first looked at the date.
Yeah.
Because it was in and around the 1st of April.
Yeah. And
this could be shot back.
But then after that, you look at the source.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is it a legitimate source?
Yes. And it is. So, Ross, what do we have?
What do we have?
We've got Matrix 5. But, sans Wachowski.
Yeah.
So, Lana Wachowski was still attached to the last one. Lana was one half of the original directing duo. The only one that came back for Resurrections. Lana is now moving into a producer role. And we have got Drew Goddard attached as director. Yeah.
Drew Goddard, what has he done?
One of my favorite movies, Cabin in the Woods.
Nice.
Lots of writing credits also. The Martian. And World War Z. So, not a terrible choice.
Oh, first Cloverfield too.
Yes. Nice. So, I don't quite know though whether any of those credentials tie in with what we've got so far with The Matrix.
Yes. It's a strange one. There is that theory that Lana Wachowski did make a bad film on purpose because of studio pressure and interference and all that jazz.
Okay.
I don't know how true that is. I mean, I feel no one
said that. I just feel like film. With the number of people involved with making a movie, to deliberately make a bad one is so disrespectful of so many people's efforts.
I do think they should have not made it during COVID. Mm. COVID really screwed that film over. Also, the script wasn't great, but still. So, is this one involving Keanu at all? Is it a new story? Do we know anything?
Look, things are very, very much under wraps. We don't even have a name. There's no script details. There's nothing. We've got Lana coming back and we've got Drew Goddard is attached to direct. So, but every article I've seen has got Keanu Reeves' face all over it.
Of course it will. Of course. So of course it will. Because he is the Matrix. But I mean, the man is 60 this year, I think.
Yeah, he's getting old. He's got other franchises that he's working on.
Yeah.
I don't know whether you bring him back for this again.
What story would you even tell? Like, it just doesn't make sense to me.
It didn't seem like they had anything to say, really.
No.
The last one.
They didn't.
And going from that to whatever else you're doing now, it's going to take a lot to pull me back in.
That script, like, screwed everyone involved. Even the action scenes, it was just terrible.
Yeah. The original Matrix, one of the best films ever made.
Yeah.
So it's not impossible that there is an idea for this. But what happened in the last one, if it's anything like that, brah, I'm outie.
Nwata! So, Marvel MCU rebuilding, starting with characters we haven't seen in the MCU. You have X-Men coming down the pipeline. You have all this, but one of the
X-Men 97.
Yo, how good?
OMG.
How good is that?
OMG.
How good is X-Men 97 though? Like, legit. You were a fan, no?
Sorry, I sidetracked us.
No, you did, but like...
I just had...
If you're coming in new, I can see how the dialogue can be like... you know, it's weird, soap opera and weird. But I mean, if you remember the original cartoon, flawless.
All the beats. Anyways, and you then were saying.
The one we really excited for, it was the announcement of the Fantastic Four.
Yes.
Which had Pedro Pascal,
Vanessa Kirby,
Joseph Quinn, and Iman Mas Bagra.
Iban Mas Bagra. Put some respect on cousin's name.
Okay, cousin. Okay. As the movie is expanding and the script and the finishing the casting up, it was announced that they had cast the new Silver Surfer.
Yes, and that's our bloody woman.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Anyway, we've got Julia Garner. Now, I haven't watched Ozark.
What?
I haven't watched Ozark.
What? Okay. No.
It's on the list.
No, but no. I haven't seen it yet. She is really like... She's an Emmy-winning actress.
Three times.
Three-time Emmy-winning actress. Four-time nominee. She's been in various amounts of projects. One that was good was the one where she worked in a building where there was, like, sexual harassment stuff going on. It's a very, like, slow burn and whatever, but great film. Ever since Ozark, I keep an eye on her career. I know she was lined up to play the Madonna Madonna in the, film, but it was canceled for some reason. Mm. So, yeah, she won't be playing the original Silver Surfer. Mm-hmm. What is his name again?
I can't remember his name, but she will be playing.
Eben Musbakarak. That sounds like an alien name, actually. No, it's not that.
So she's playing Shalabal.
Shalabal. Mm. Shalabal or Shalanotbal?
Yeah. You know, generally I lean Bal. So she's playing Shalabal, which is just a different version of the Silver Surfer. Now, Ross, when people
get They were so, lovers at the time. Yeah. At the time, yeah.
So when people get so like, not my Silver Surfer, not my Little Mermaid, not my whatever.
Yeah.
This is just a different version of the character.
Man, John Campia asked a great question. I know I always pump his show, but he's very boring, but I love his show.
I love his show.
I love the content.
I hate how much he takes over his own show. Oh my God. Like, and with the four-person
panel. He repeats himself so much. Anyway. Anyway, let me not go on that tangent. But the information, the new information is so good.
He's amazing.
His insight is good. Anyway, he said, if you look back at the old Fantastic Four movies and you're like, would it have been a bad film if they had a female Silver Surfer? Mm. It would not have.
No.
Because the movie was bad.
Yeah.
The script was bad. Mm. So you can't look at, oh, I need to see this Silver Surfer and that Silver Surfer if the script is great and the performances are great and you have to look at it as a whole and be like, does it serve the story bringing this version in?
And I mean, even just looking at Michael B. Jordan as Johnny Storm, was having a black Johnny Storm the worst part of that movie?
No, it was not.
Was it a problem in that movie?
No, it was not.
Much bigger issues.
Yeah. So the fact that she was cast, I am excited for, but someone else weighed in.
Mm.
Lakeith Stanfield.
Oh.
After the announcement, he, on an Instagram post, which is now deleted, or a Twitter, or X, I don't know, he said, oh, I thought I was supposed to be this character. But I don't know. He posted
But does that mean that he actually auditioned?
Apparently, it was between the two of them.
Jeepers.
He has since deleted the post, but...
I don't know how I feel.
It threw a spanner in the works because they went like, then you get to think like, shit, okay, we could have seen a
existential Lakeith Stanfield Silver Surfer.
Yeah.
Yo.
But we haven't seen the film. I don't know if you guys know this, but we've no all about it.
Yeah, there's no blood.
Yeah, so just chilled out. I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm excited either way. Whether Lakeith was supposed to be in, maybe. The direction they wanted to take it and the story better served the other version of Silver Surfer.
100%.
So let the creatives do what creatives do and then we can judge it once it's out.
Maybe, no?
Maybe. Let's try this. New thing.
Judge the content once
it's released. And once you have actually seen it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe, let's try that.
Not a terrible idea.
It's time for a review.
This week we are reviewing Monkey Man, the directorial debut of Dev Patel. A young man ekes out a meager living in an underground fight club where, night after night, wearing a gorilla mask, he's beaten bloody by more popular fighters for cash. After years of suppressed rage, he discovers a way to infiltrate the enclave of the city's sinister elite. As his childhood trauma boils over, his mysteriously scarred hands unleash an explosive campaign of retribution to settle the score with the men who took everything from him. I want to say, and woman.
Oh, yeah. The people.
Yeah, who took everything from him. Written by, directed by, starring
Co-written.
Dev Patel. Co-written, starring Dev Patel as our protagonist. We've also got Charlton Copley playing a, I assume, South African fight promoter in India.
Definitely.
Natural fit. Peter Bush, Vipin Sharma, Sikandar Kaur, Aditi Kalkunte. I don't know if there's any other really big actors here that I'm leaving out.
Iban Mospakarak.
Yeah.
no, he's not in there.
No, not quite. Makran Deshpande, I think, is also one of the big villains in here. So Beata Dhulipala is the love interest, sort of. Anyways, we've spoken about the campaign to it getting to cinemas. Yeah, you know.
It was supposed to come out on Netflix.
Netflix had a change of heart. Decided to shop it around.
They had it for a while.
Yeah. They didn't think it was going to break into the Indian audience as big as they initially assumed it would.
Yeah.
So they had actually kind of like anyone interested in buying.
Yeah, because the Indian films do really well on Netflix. I don't know if I agree with that per se, but sure, I'm glad they shopped it around.
So glad. Because Jordan Peele saw this movie. He's like, I'm going to get you guys to cinema. It got a cinematic release, and it's on the budget of what? About 20 mil?
I heard 10.
That they filmed this movie for. And it's got a cinematic release.
So let's get into it. The story of Monkey Man is actually inspired by the, not folktale, what do they call
like
it?
Like a parable type, not parable, but I think folktale.
Yeah, like the religious stories. Hanuman, yeah. Hanuman, the god, the monkey man, the half man, half monkey guy. So it's kind of based on that, but late stage capitalism, violence, you know, the
rebelling against the caste system.
Like there's so many issues that come through.
So much social commentary and so many issues that are highlighted.
Yeah.
Where do we start?
Okay. The synopsis kind of covers it.
Yeah. Quite an in-depth synopsis this week.
Yeah,
we don't normally get like so much detail.
You find this character where he is, and as the story goes on, it's revealed like why he's so driven to whatever goal he has.
Yeah.
You meet a lot of different characters in this sort of underworld that serves these rich elites in this seedy restaurant slash club building.
Slash
six. Like thing.
Yeah.
The higher you go, the worse it gets.
Yes.
But what's different about this organization is that at the top of the pyramid, they have this religious leader there who is seen as this peaceful yoga doing like guru type guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this guy is positioned as all of that, but he's also playing a political game.
Yes.
The Indian elections are coming up, so that's a big story.
Yeah.
A big driver here also. And
there's a lot of things that come through in like the news reports and stuff, which you could miss on first viewing, but a lot of the moves made by this organization like comes through that.
Yeah.
There's one thing where they mentioned that he like got property and he was building like a factory, and factory, it's a commune. And
There's a lot you gotta pay attention. You can't kind of, this isn't the type of movie to have your phone out and kind of be scrolling as you're watching the movie.
Yeah,
you need to be kind of switched on the whole time. For those things.
So, and this is shown to us like as the story goes on, but then you have Dev Patel's character and you're finding out he's poor, he skits with the low caste people.
Yeah, he's very poor. Yeah. Like really, really poor.
I mean, they're all poor. Like it hits you at different times. There's one scene where he's skitting with this guy in a turbocharged tuk-tuk.
He's with Alfonso.
Yeah, in a turbocharged rickshaw.
Yeah.
And they speeding past. 11,000
revs, bro.
Yeah.
Vin Diesel was watching that thing like, need to get one of those.
Next. Fast and Furious India. And he speeds past and the camera zips and then it cuts to this family sleeping on the floor.
Yeah.
And then it's like, shit. Okay.
There's a lot of that.
Yeah.
India is its own character in this movie. The location is constantly referencing that dichotomy of the haves and the have-nots. Mm. And
Wasn't actually filmed in India.
I assumed you would have that info for us.
Yeah, it was filmed in Indonesia.
Yeah. It's so much like dichotomy, man. I mean, India and South Africa are the two places that have the biggest disparity between the rich and the poor. And this movie highlights it constantly.
Yeah.
It's jarring to watch and to see. But so you're saying story-wise, we have our character who's, he doesn't have a name, no. actually. But Dev Patel's character, the protagonist, who is just listed as Kid yeah, on IFTP.
He's listed as Kid, yeah.
We immediately get thrown into this underground fight that he's in. Don't quite know why he's there. He's got his monkey mask on.
Mm.
And, you know, he's, it's a struggle, man. Like, you see how poor he is. He immediately talks about he needs his money because he's not getting paid as much as he should. But they don't reveal the plot at all. They yeah. really take their time with that
yeah.
side of
yeah,
things.
Yeah, no, they do. He gets a job in the kitchen.
Yeah, within this building.
Within this building, yes. like right at the bottom.
Mm.
And he shows his hands in that, I would say, interview.
Yeah. That he's just somehow connived for himself.
Yeah, you know? He works his way in and he's... What's that woman's name? Queenie.
Queenie, yeah. 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 Her character's name is actually Neela. No, sorry, it is Queenie. Ashwini Kalsaka.
Ashwini the Queenie. Mm-hmm. She runs the kitchen and also prostitute wing yeah. of the business.
I guess she's like the general manager and of this place. Yeah. Of the enterprise. You know, she's got oversight over all of this. But she's also like chef. Because she comes later in the film, she like tastes the thing. Yeah. Just Alice.
Yeah, she's in control of quite a bit there at the bottom. And he works his way into the kitchen as a dishwasher by saying like, look.
I'll do the jobs that no one wants.
He shows her his hands and they're like burned. And he's like a bleach. He says something about bleach. Which is funny because when someone asks his name, he says his name is Bobby and the brand Bobby's of bleach is Bobby.
Yeah. So yeah, he gets in, right? And now we start seeing all the different aspects of this place that he's in.
Yeah.
But we don't know why he wants to be there.
No, but then we meet the rickshaw guy.
Mm-hmm.
What's his name?
That's Alfonso.
He's got my name.
Yeah, Alfonso, just hilarious.
Yeah,
he's got oversight over the kitchen. Yeah. Oversight in parentheses because this man is just kind of like a gopher.
Yeah. Like he just walks around and he's like, yay.
No one likes him.
No one likes him.
But again, like commentary on the caste system and your place in the world.
Yes.
And
the rejects, the downtrodden.
He doesn't belong with the people that have got suits and shit on.
Yeah, he meets this guy and this guy's a lot of fun. He doesn't trust him at first, obs. But then he uses Alfonso to get to the next level of the business.
The VIP.
Oh, yeah. To get into the VIP room. He serves champagne there. And that's where he gets to see the prostitution level. And then he gets like more elites.
Yes. There's VIP and then there's like Queenie's VIP section. Yeah. There's lots of levels to it. Yeah. Which action movie trope just fantastically buys into that whole concept of the higher it goes, the worse it gets.
Yeah.
The boss is always the highest level. Yeah.
There are things that are standard here, but it's used in what feels like a fresh way.
Yes.
So he goes in there, he works there, and then you realize, while this is happening, you get flashbacks of kind of what happened.
Yeah, there's a lot of hectic trauma. We don't know what the trauma is, but we see that there's flashbacks with his mother. We see that there's violence that he's experienced that clearly impacts on him. And whatever is going on, there's a revenge mission at play. That much we can glean.
You can, definitely. The way he looks at these people, there's so much emotion like behind his eyes. Yeah.
We're going to talk about this.
Yeah. Sometimes it tears up or it gets too much and whatever. So there's a lot going on under the surface as he's making his way through this fucking building.
This is not a conventional action movie as much as it is also a conventional action movie.
No, they marketed it as Indian John Wick.
Yes.
But for the first hour, there's not that much action.
Mm.
It's all world building, character development, and story.
And maybe the movie actually, or people's perception of the movie, I think, suffers a bit because of this assumption that it's Indian John Wick. And that it maybe won't be as good as what Keanu Reeves is. Because a lot of the marketing bought into the him in a suit, him fighting in a suit.
Oh, yeah.
Which is not like
that's not what it is.
That's so little of the movie.
Part of it, yeah.
Yeah.
And one of the YouTuber movie critics, Jeremy Johns, you know, he said he was bored at times, and I didn't find that, but I can kind of understand it because if you go in expecting Indian John Wick,
then
that first part might bore you.
Yeah, maybe this is where almost the unconventional aspect comes in for me because we have almost like a first climax to the film, and then we've got like, okay, now we
second
get
second climax.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And for those of us who
second one is always better.
Some of us can't get, you can't recover after the first one.
No, yeah.
You know, and sometimes as much as you try,
you need a break.
Yeah.
Maybe an
Energize a blow palicky. This movie takes its blow palicky.
And it goes hard.
It goes hard. So, but that felt unconventional. And yeah, I think it kind of plays very well into the, like, new director. This isn't just your normal action movie. We're trying different things here.
Yeah, I mean, there's a little fat that could have been cut. I mean, in terms of, like, scenes and resting on scenes and whatever. But it didn't irritate me too much.
No, and I think we should talk about Dev Patel, the director,
at
some point in this review. But there's parts that could have been cut. But this movie comes in at, like, what, 2 hours?
2 hours, yeah.
So, also, that's not the norm nowadays, right?
Is like 2.5.
Yeah, I didn't feel like there was too much.
How things played out gave the ending even more weight.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
So what else can we talk about without spoilers now? Because it's a bitchy tough.
It is a bitchy tough. We spoke about like the downtrodden and the caste system and those individuals. And then there's something that happens and he ends up with like what is considered the lowest of the low.
Yes.
This community of people that have been shunned even by the shunned, which I thought was amazing.
Yeah, that's Alpha, is the leader of that group, and it's played by Vipin Sharma.
But I guess we can say, right? It's this trans community that lives in India.
Yeah, there are lots of different gods. So the one that they praise is Shiva, who has the personality of
the destroyer.
Good. Yeah.
And then, no, there were two gods there.
Is it not Shiva's two sides? The way that it's described. That's how I understood it. That is the destroyer side and
actually
the boulder side.
I'll take your word on it because I don't want to get those things wrong.
I'm also speaking under correction then. Yeah. But this is where our character ends up after the first kind of high point of the movie. They've taken him in and help him to get where he needs to be.
Yeah, that's the part where you discover the trauma that drives him, basically.
Yeah,
and those characters are also quite funny. Like, so everyone has like these moments, man, which is quite cool. And there's even moments for kid there. Mm. Like, that's the first time you see him in a safe space almost.
Mm. Also in a space where he's not...
edge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because the whole, like, almost first half of this film is him, he's planning... He needs things to come together. He needs enough money to get what he needs to get. Mm. And there's a lot of like building towards something.
Yeah.
And he's so high strung for that entire first part of that movie.
It's crazy.
He's wound tight though, y'all.
But yeah, it's a revenge story. It has a lot of social commentary. There's religious tie-ins. Mm. There's questions about belief, belonging, capitalism, exploitation. Like, there's so much going on in here.
Yeah.
But it's not overwhelming.
No. And it doesn't feel like these things have just been thrown there for the sake of it.
Yeah. Some parts are heavy-handed, I would say. There's one part where the prostitute is, like, with a guy and then they play Roxanne.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, so there's certain things that are a little heavy handed, but I forgive so much. Mm. Like, those are not even minor blips.
And I want to talk about Dev, the director, when we in spoilers. Okay, I think it'll be easier.
Yeah, yeah. So performance wise, I mean, you have never seen Dev Patel like this before, I think.
You haven't, and you have, I would say.
No, yeah.
You know, there's elements of Lion, there's elements of Slumdog Millionaire in here.
Yeah.
There's stuff that he knows how to do well, the emotional stakes and the more dramatic elements.
Mm.
But the stuff that you've not seen of him before, yes, bro.
Yeah, he's in the mix here, my bro. Like, that action is so convincing and visceral, and he pulls it off
the brutality
so well.
Of this movie is just, it's off the charts.
I didn't even mind the shaky cam.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of it.
Yeah,
because I think it's used to mask things quite often.
No, 100%.
But in the main fight scenes, there are no times where we question whether it's Dev Patel.
No, you know, not at all. He did study Taekwondo when he was 10 years old. He earned first Dan when he turned 16.
Mm.
So he has a martial arts background, and that obviously helps with choreography and all that jazz. But super believable. If you remember Dev Patel as the skinny Indian kid, like now he's a leany, muscly Indian kid
Yeah.
who can beat the f-
the everlasting shit out of you. So completely buy into him.
100%.
Our villains look
so good.
The cast actually as a whole is spot on.
Right. Alfonso's
character as our comedic
relief. Elements of Bollywood that comes through, man.
I don't even know who the kid actors are because they haven't listed them yet. But
so good.
All of the kid actors in this movie are just brilliant.
Even the dog, cute as shit.
Yeah. The main villain, Makran Deshpande, who plays Baba Shakti.
Yeah.
Also just
everything
you want from a villain, this bra has it.
I like the slow reveal of him as well. Like they don't show his face at first, and then they slowly reveal him.
Yeah.
The policeman guy.
Yeah, that is Rana Sikandaka.
My bro.
Yeah.
That powerful mustache, always smoking an anchi, like he's big and intimidating and just a bad guy.
They found the perfect people. And I think this is maybe a bit of a spoiler, but there's someone that's alluded to Xita as a potential love interest. And they don't lean into that at all, which I actually think serves the story brilliantly.
100%, because he wouldn't get sidetracked, even though he has empathy for the situation and she kind of helps him out a little. I don't feel like that character would get sidetracked by like, okay, I want to have some sexy time.
And when he does get sidetracked, it's for the right reasons.
Yeah, exactly.
It's to help the people who've helped him.
Yeah. Everyone else. Yeah, like we said, the rickshaw bra, he's kak money. You can tell by the end of it. He's a victim of circumstance as well.
Which they allude to when like he gets mocked by people.
Because that's the moment. Now you see, I kind of go into spoilers.
Do it, man. Do it.
I'll talk about it later.
Okay. Okay. So we can't go on.
That is just too much into the story. So let's say Kwai or Nai for you, Jody.
This is Kwai. I want this movie to do so well. It's a small budget film. I really want it to be successful. Yeah.
Yeah, it's Kwai. I mean, for a debut, and we'll get into how this movie was made.
Yeah.
In terms of just production issues. It's one of the best debuts I've seen.
Yeah.
And Dev Patel realized he wasn't getting roles like this, and he made one for himself. And I was like, man.
Dala, bro.
Dala, more props to you. You don't even know what doors this would open, actually.
Look, I don't think I've gone into a movie rooting for it so much like I was rooting for this going in.
Yeah. We were all rooting for you.
You know, it's like, I don't want to go into a movie and be like, I really, really hope this is...
No,
I want to go in open-minded.
I don't want any movie to be bad, right? But this one had a connection.
I went into this actively like, I really hope this is good. And he delivered. He really did.
But pray to Shiva that this movie is good. But yeah, let's get into spoilers. He kills the people.
He kills all of them.
All the people.
All of them.
Sat, 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 sat.
Unquestionably kills all of them.
Okay. Let's talk about how he kills all of them, Johnny.
With his fist.
So... spoilers unleashed.
Yeah.
Let's go. So you find out that when he was a boy, he was raised by a single parent, his mother. And this was during the rise to power of this whole organization. And this village, for whatever reason, they wanted that land.
Yeah.
And they basically killed, raped, murdered everyone in that village. He survived, but he witnessed his mother being killed, burned. That's how he burned his hands. He was trying to put out the fire.
I knew that scene was going to be hectic.
Oh, yeah. But it was more hectic originally. There was an actual rape scene.
Yeah, I actually thought they were going to.
Yeah.
I thought they were going to.
No, there was a rape scene, but for the rating purposes, they cut it out.
Okay. Sure, bruh. It was
hectic.
Again, this movie is a commentary on real life problems in India. Like things that are still in place there. The caste system, I mean, we're not a political show. So it's not really for us to talk about these things, but go and read up on it. And to my mind, it's a really messed up way.
No,
that
it's hectic.
That
they
people
show,
are just like classified and
in the build up to the finale. I think they show clips. Do you remember
of real protest?
There's protest. There's abuse. There's all sorts of things that they show clips of. Those are real clips.
Yeah, I figured it was real stuff. Yes.
So yeah, that's what drives him, and he hasn't really come to terms with that. And he actually wants revenge. He wants to take these people down from the bottom to the top.
And these people, their faces are burned into his memory. The people, the organization, all of that is like...
His main beef is with the mustachioed
The man. Police.
The captain.
Yeah, Sikandak.
The sersant.
Yeah, and I mean,
the
again...
The constable.
That guy is played brilliantly.
Yeah,
he is. And the visual of that guy as like this monster is just amazingly pulled off.
Yeah, but and there's a worse person at the top.
Yes, and this is where that like the flows of, we have the almost like initial, he's got this plan, he's going to kill this bri, he buys a gun, he practices, infiltrates his organization.
And then he f***s it up.
And he f***s it up, my bro. Which I think is like such a brilliant idea. This concept of, he's got this powerful revenge mission, right?
Yeah.
And we think that he's got everything planned because it looks like he's got like...
Yeah, I mean, he can fight.
The network of thieves and stuff that he can use.
But
also,
not only that, just you take it down to one-on-one, you think like, yeah, okay, he's got a background of fighting, he can dala. But then like he's in that situation and everything goes to shit.
Yeah. He fell dismally.
Yeah, when he has to reach into the toilet.
Ah,
there's the a toilet
full of shit.
Gun falls in there and he has to reach for it.
And he gets that gun, but it doesn't help because he not just fails, but he's left with none of the resources that he's built up to that point also. Yeah. You know, it's like he's got to go into hiding. The police are after him.
So that moment I wanted to talk about. So he fails at killing this guy.
Mm.
He's on the run. The whole f***ing building's after him. And then there's a part where he steals the guy's rickshaw. And the guy's like, hey, where you going? And he's like, get in. And then Abby asked me, like, why did he get in? Mm. And I'm like, I feel like they made a connection, like, as they got to know each other. And he empathized with the guy once he saw how he was treated.
How he was treated.
In that thing.
Yeah, I interpreted it in the same way, that Alfonso's character is constantly being put down.
Yeah. But he seems better than the people at the bottom.
Mm.
And he acts that way. But the rich people know that he's a piece
of shit. He doesn't belong there.
Yeah.
And that was my thing of, yes, that's why
he also, he loves that f***ing rickshaw. So he wasn't going to let him go.
Nah, that rickshaw is the best f***ing rickshaw I've ever seen.
That, where there's a chase and that rickshaw that comes slide, around.
That broadslide on three wheels. There's a lot of realism in this movie. But
my bro, that thing comes around the corner. Cack,
but
boss.
The tires, it's fat little tires that he's got on there.
Cack, man.
Yeah, so... Maybe we can talk about Dev the director now, because there's a lot of stuff we couldn't dive into. And
my God, we couldn't dive into
look
that.
Look, for a first-time director, there are things that I feel like there were maybe better decisions that could have been made.
Yeah.
But for someone doing their first movie, that you can see how much has been invested into this in terms of the storytelling.
Yeah, about $10 million.
Yeah, more or less. But how much of himself he put into it. This man has got really good instincts.
No, he does.
For filmmaking.
He does. You can see how he pays homage to certain things, but it's new, it's fresh for this type of story and this type of character and the representation alone. The thing that makes it even more astonishing is how they made the film. He had a financier, everything was lined up, locations, shoot dates, whatever, and then COVID happened.
Yeah.
And they had to pivot. And then even during that pivot, things just kept going wrong.
Yeah.
The island that they went to, because they closed the borders and such, he couldn't actually order anything in. There were cameras that were broken. He could not get new cameras in. They shot on iPhones and GoPros in the meantime, all these things. There's a lot of like close-up shots, like extreme close-ups of people's faces. Some people had an issue with it. I didn't as much.
But none of that took me out of the story.
It didn't.
You know?
It could have been a technical issue.
Yeah.
It could have been like, we have to shoot this with a f***ing GoPro.
But what I'll then say is that, because I didn't know about the extent of those issues.
But that's not even the f***ing half of it, my brother.
Yeah, I'm aware that you're going to get us into that. But whatever issues he's had, like technically there, he incorporated into the way that he told the story.
Yeah, yeah. He had to. He had no other
choice.
Like
he made it.
They were going to pull funding at the point, and he had to beg them not to do it. The gaffer had a heart attack during the production. He lost his
director photographer.
Principal photographer. Yeah. I talk about things breaking, right?
Mm.
The crane arm broke, and that was supposed to be used for when they celebrate Diwali and they were dancing and whatever. So what they did is they hung this arm from a rope and they called it the pendulum cam. And they swung it, and then there was a cameraman in the crowd who then catch it and then move through the crowd. Like, it's all guerrilla warfare type cack, bruh. All the locations and stuff were last minute dropped. Even the tables. They had 3 or 4 breakaway tables. And we'll do the stunts, and then they'd shout, cut. And then all cast and crew were on the floor picking up the pieces so they could glue them together for the next shoot. He had no, you could bring in no other actors. There's so many crew members in the movie because he had no extras. They all had to take part and be in the film. He got, okay, if you talk,
we talk about Dev Patel straight up now also.
Yeah, so if you talk about his injuries alone, right?
I think the first one was the foot, breaking his foot before the start of filming.
Yeah, 2 broken toes.
Yeah.
There was a thing, a broken hand, a torn shoulder. And an eye infection just for halabalas. Why he got the eye infection was actually the
pink eye.
The bathroom, yeah, no out. The bathroom scene where he tries to kill the constable for the first time. They kept doing the stunts, shooting the whole sequence. And there was water everywhere, and the crew was in and out there with their shoes and
whatever. They didn't have to be method actors and have real cuck, eh?
I don't think it was the cuck. Because then he's like on the floor and he's swallowing water and it's getting in his eyes and shit. So he got an eye infection from that. But like, it is astonishing that this movie got made.
The story I heard with his hand was he breaks his hand and he only told the producer. He's like, listen, I broke my hand.
Yeah.
Don't tell anyone.
Yeah.
Because he's the lead actor. He's in 99% of the scenes. So if they can't film.
They can't move forward.
They can't move forward.
Yeah.
So he's like, I'm not going to tell anyone else. I'm just going to keep going.
Yeah. And he had to do that. I mean, there was so much on the line for him, right? Even one of the producers, like, maxed out his personal credit cards. Because there was one scene where they were sitting around and they didn't have glass table covers. And they filmed it without the table covers from, like, year up. And then when they had to include it, they had no choice but to go buy. And this bruh, like, you had to use his personal credit card.
Maybe you can jump ahead, Ross, and talk about distribution and what happened.
So the distribution was supposed to happen on Netflix. I don't know how the deal went down in terms of what he got paid by Netflix, but Jordan Peele saw the film when they were shopping.
And there's also the part that the production company involved there went bust.
They just went bust,
which is part of why Netflix, I think, acquired it initially.
Yeah, exactly. And I think the movie was completed in
2020, 2021,
around there. So they've been sitting on it the whole time.
Yeah.
Jordan Peele then saw it and said, this deserves a cinema release. And then he has a deal with Universal, with Monkey Paw Productions. And they put it out in the theater.
$10 million is a lot of money, eh? But $10 million to make a movie is nothing. And for a film that, I mean, we can talk now about how this film looks.
It looks way more expensive.
Incredibly polished for something that was put together for so little money.
Yeah, it looks way more expensive than it has any business being.
Yeah.
The cinematography itself, the lighting, everything is just so well done. And I think when you don't have that much money, you only have one shot, as Eminem would say. And you have to make that one shot count.
You have to lose yourself.
Lose yourself to the music.
And
Mom's
I think,
spaghetti.
But you're us. Over and above all that stuff, you still have to just have a good movie.
Yeah.
And this to me, this is a great movie. They pivot away from some general action tropes, but lean into others.
Yeah.
I enjoy this so much.
Such a dope film. Even like going back to what happens when he goes to the trans community and stuff. That sequence is really cool because he learns that he will never actually beat these people until he confronts his own personal trauma.
Yeah, as this guy put it, until you have something to fight for, you won't actually win. Because
you have to destroy part of yourself to be born again.
That line was like...
And he does like ayahuasca or some shit, some root powder thing.
Root powder and
he vividly remembers the entire ordeal and the pain and the screaming and the shouting and all that. And he works through that.
You mentioned about the first half makes the ending feel more earned. We are then given the background as to why, with all these fights that he has in this underground fighting thing,
yeah,
he loses every time. He doesn't ever win.
To the music.
Yeah. And the reason he kept losing also is, for one, the way that I saw
it's rigged.
Not just that it's rigged, but he wanted to be beat up. He felt like because he couldn't save his mom,
yeah,
that he deserved to be punished for it. So there's times where a bruh hits him and he's like, hit me harder because I want more money for the blood. Mm. But I think it's also that I want to be hit because I deserve to be
beat up. Let me just talk about Chantal Copley quickly.
Like, oh, yeah.
Like this guy, he just pops up and steals scenes and then fucks off.
Yeah.
And he's so good.
Is it this opening thing where he's like, there's some Muslims and there's some Hindus,
yeah,
maybe a Christian.
Yeah, one or two Christians, maybe. Boo. The only God we worship, yeah, is rupees. He's so good, man.
So good. So sleazy.
Hell, he's so good.
I don't even know why he's there. But I do not care. That character.
Yeah. Like, how did you end up here in this India?
South African bra promoting fights in India with the most South African accent you could ever imagine.
And they love him, no? You can tell the crowd loves him, yo.
And then when Dev Patel's character now, like, he's gone through his transformation and he's trained and he comes back and he has the fight with, like, one of Charlton Copley's main guys.
And he just one spin kicks this front.
He's like, you. Yeah, it's f***ing hilarious.
But yeah, when he's living with the trans community and then he has that training montage, also great training montage. Yeah.
Again, like, that is now taking us back to 90s.
Oh, hey, Rocky, you need a montage. You know you need a montage. And he had the idea for that scene beforehand. Mm. And he contacted that he's a famous Indian drummer.
That's Zakir Hussain. Tabla Maestro. That was such an original way to do the trading.
And even before that, when he's doing the male versus female drums, that was like how, boom, and he's telling the story of yo. And then we get this montage and he's training with the drums. And I was like, yo, this is like, and I'm like, do it, my bro. He eats that bag broken and then they bring in that big trans woman.
Who just f***ed up that bag and he's like,
and then I was like, cool, yo, these trans people are hardcore because they had to survive so much and they still like treated like shit. And I didn't know that they were going to come back.
Which was such a brilliant, like just because there's a scene like as he's making his way up, you know, the hero's got to go all the way to the top of the building to get to the bad guy. He's already taken everyone out and then the doors open and there's more guys.
Yeah.
Like, double the amount that there was.
Yeah.
And we're like, yo, is this now another, like, the bride versus the crazy 88 situation? But this bra's exhausted. And then the doors open. And these people come in from this tribe that have now, they've helped him. They themselves have fought against constant oppression and constant, like...
Because he mentions, the guy mentions once they're looking at the tree, and he mentions that they were warriors once.
Yes, and this tree symbolizes their deep roots and all that stuff.
So right? They stick it.
They stick it.
Sequence
and
all.
They are his, like, bloody manscap of note.
My bro, with sickles and
cap. Yo, they destroy those ones.
Nah, that was gevaarlijk. I could have done without the scene where the prostitute now has to help him with Queenie. But I guess she had to have like a moment, whatever. That's fine.
And like I said, I forgive that stuff because he hasn't bought into the other things. And also, he's a first-time director.
Yeah, no, that's true. I mean, you forgive some things, but like the overall quality of everything that is shown just overshadows any shortfalls.
Exactly.
So the action itself is... There's a lot of like yurr moments, no?
Mm.
Like, even though we've seen movies like John Wick and we've seen The Raid and whatever,
this manages still, to stand out. It's carved its own place for me.
The way he fights as well is like dirty
because
the biting, man.
Yeah. Yo, with that one bra, he bites that guy's nose twice in that fight. That guy didn't learn the first time. Like, and he's like, fine,
yeah, because no one ever bites most in a fight, but he's like, I'm prepared to f***ing die for this shit. And he bites people. And then he gets to his showdown with the policeman, which I thought was amazing. I thought, like, how is he going to do this? And he beats this man to death.
Yeah, and what I loved about it is that that guy totally beat him the first time.
Right? Oh, yeah.
And this time around, he's not just grown as a fighter, but as a person. He's confronted his own demons.
Yeah.
And he's actually proven to himself that I don't have to hold myself back in any way.
Yeah.
And once he's unleashed me, bro.
Yeah. Because you always figure out, right? Like, someone that has wronged you in the worst kind of way, what is the appropriate response? Mm. And
in this case, it's smashing this person's face.
But he hits him until he is dead. He hits him on the ground until he is dead. And I was like, that's kind of perfect. Like, all that power is gone.
Yeah.
And all he can do is just lie there and receive these deadly blows. Mm-hmm. And it was so fucking satisfying.
And there's no hint of, like, should I let him live because I'm better than that?
No.
No. This brat takes all the revenge. You're gonna
die. That mother cho deserved to die so much.
And yes, this is.
I don't even know if I must bleep that out when I edit.
Probably. Because if we have an Indian audience, they will know what you say.
These mother chos gonna die.
Oh, yeah. And then he gets to villain of villains.
To the villain. And he's so villainy. He's lying there with his foot in his pool. Talking cack about
you're better than this.
Mm, and also, like, I am necessary here, you know? I make the world better here in this place.
What even is a capitalism, man?
Yeah, look at my sandals.
You know, these sandals, this guy made it so that he actually wouldn't hurt the floor
anything. Yeah, it turns out there are weapons in there. Yeah,
spikes.
Oh, where? And he sticks our hero. And then our hero is like, nah.
Oh, bruh. That scene. So he stabs him in the stomach and then stabs him through the hand. And our hero's like, you know what?
Mm.
You gonna die.
Yeah, you go before I do. Yeah. And he's like, tat, 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 tat. Mm. And the bra's on the floor. And he's
hits him.
No, but the way he begs also, man, before he dies.
And he's just like, you know what? A little lobotomy. I think he went too far. Like, I think with the actual lobotomy, you're just supposed to tuck it here in front.
Yeah.
And he put that thing in all the way. That's
don't like, you? Like, even the symbolism, no? Like, Deborah begs for his life, whatever, and then he sticks him
all the way through.
Too far.
Yeah.
Or they call it an extreme lobotomy. And then they pull back, and it's like a religious figure with a top.
Those festering.
Wow. No. That's never let it fester, Johnny. Always let it out. That's some good ass shit. Yeah, gives him a little top of me. And the religious figure with the dot on his head, I was like, oh, okay. Mm. You're talking about way more here than you're letting on. Because that symbol itself can be used for evil or good.
Which is the entire discussion of this movie and why I think the comparisons with your John Wicks and your Takens are so...
Mm.
It's an action movie, yes, but this is totally different from any of those revenge films.
Yeah, it's so unique from a cultural perspective.
Yeah.
Just talking about the Hanuman story, that character, Hanuman was super powerful. Mm. He ate the sun. He thought it was a mango. He thought
it was a really ripe mango.
Yeah. You know, he was thriving and shit, and then the gods punished him.
Yeah.
They took away his powers and whatever, but Rama... was the one who he served, who eventually gave his powers back once he grew wisdom. There's even imagery, like, according to many, inspired Superman's thing. Because,
get it.
The story of Hanuman and exposing his heart. So he exposed his heart because he helped Rama free his wife Sita and stuff. And they were best friends. And then he wanted to give him gifts. And Hanuman was like, nah, I don't need anything. Your friendship is tight, like, and they're like, nah, I take the gifts. And he's like, nah, I don't need it. You guys are in my heart. And then he slit his chest open and shows the heart. And then he starts to die. And then they revive him and give his powers back. So this story kind of resonates with a lot of people, especially if you grow up Hindu and stuff. Mm. You know the story and you know what this character represents. And there's a lot of parallels.
He brings that imagery, he incorporates all of that so well into the story he's telling here.
Yeah.
Because that story of Hanuman is the story that his mother told him
growing in the beginning.
Up.
That's how it starts. It's like
the defining story for him as a child and his memory of his mom.
Yeah. The fact that he was able to include all this shit in this 2-hour movie is
astonishing.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Who co-wrote with him? Because that person also needs props, actually.
Yeah, I think he had two co-writers.
Yeah, Paul Anguela and John Colley. Even if you got like a story, you would need help. I mean, it's your first time writing a story. And this was something that Dev Patel was really passionate about. And, you know, I could tell. I mean, if this is the only movie he ever makes, then...
That was some movie to stand by as your only.
Yeah.
I do hope he makes more.
Yeah.
I do hope he leans into the action genre. I sincerely hope that they don't try and make a sequel to this.
Yes, there have been talks already. Because at the end, the character collapses.
Mm.
You don't know if he's dead. It's very ambiguous.
Mm.
But I'm really happy with that ending.
Yeah, this movie has got a beginning, middle, and an end. And the story is perfect as it is.
Yeah, I'm really happy with it.
I don't want more.
So maybe we don't want it to make too much money.
I wanted to make all the money.
Make all the money, the studio is going to push a sequel. You know how this works, Tony.
Yo, no, this was quite my bro.
And Dev Patel, I was a fan since Slumdog, since Lion.
I am since so much Newsroom. More
People forget he was in Newsroom. Yeah. I'll never stop being a fan now.
Yeah. It's taken me to a new level with him.
The next level,
man. It's not often that we are...
Got in that elevator. Yeah. What's that thumb?
We can go to Queenie's floor. It's not often that we are like, this person's releasing something. We've got to go and see it. But I'm there with
him. My eyes is on him now, my bro. And put him in more action shit. Put him in leading roles. Put him in things that you know he can do now. Like, he can do almost anything.
It doesn't only have to be the emotional trauma stuff.
Yarr.
This prize rounded.
And he just seems like such a nice guy.
Mm.
That's why I'm also in two minds about Jordan Peele, who signed that f***ing letter for Israel.
Mm-hmm. Did he?
Yes, his name is on there. So it's like he's about like, return the hostages and Biden's handling it so well. Mm. But then there's other people say that he signed the other letter as well. But it's like, shit, man, I was in two minds about this shit. But my love for Dev Patel and my support of Dev Patel just overtook it. And I really want him to succeed. But also, like, at the same time, Jordan Peele, too. Mm. Anyway.
Complicated.
Do you have any shout-outs? I have a shout-out.
Okay, go.
I went to a dinner.
I went to a dinner.
And I had some food. And I met a actual super fan.
That was so random.
Let me paint you a picture, bro. We at this dinner, there's a whole lot of people around. We talking. She can hear my voice. And Abby's sitting next to me and talking to her. And we're having conversation. And then she starts asking Abby, what do you do? What is this? Mm-hmm. Whatever, whatever. And she discovers that I am Ross from Ross and Jody. And then...
We've never been introduced in public in that way.
And you could see the thing in her brain click. And she's like, your voice. I recognize it now. Oh my... Jody, I never experienced this before. She really f***ing loves what we do.
That's amazing.
It's insane. And then we started talking about... And she's lovely also. I mean, just so by the way, she's a nice person.
Yeah, that helps.
Yeah, it does help. I mean, she's not a dick.
Generally, only douchebags.
Yeah, so her name is Megan Van Strip. Stripe? Mm. Stripe. There's a J in it. It's probably Doi.
Stripe.
Yeah, from the Netherlands.
Yeah.
Hello, Megan.
Yeah. Was she really happy?
She was really happy. Mm. You want to smoke in a bang?
Crazy Dutch passion.
Yeah, so we started talking about the show and stuff, and she only listens to episodes after she's seen the film.
Yeah.
And one thing that she said was, before she talks about the film, she likes to listen to what we said.
To find out if she's on the right track.
And if we disagree with her, then she's like, shit, maybe I was like, which was cack funny. But something that another thing she mentioned is sometimes she feels like I bully you.
Shame. She team Jody.
She was until I had my say. I gave her my side of the story. And then she's like, initially, like, we said goodbye and she hugged me and started, and then she's like, initially, like, I thought you bullied Jody, but now I feel like Jody must stop being such a little bitch.
Wow. What a pivot. What a pivot.
So I sold myself so well in that conversation.
That I went from being the bullied to maybe he wants to be bullied. Wow, I got victim blamed on that one, didn't I?
The thing is, Jody, now's your chance to say your
no,
say.
No, I don't even know how to come back with this.
No, well, maybe we meet in the future and you get to yeah. tell your side of the story. Yeah. I said, look, Jody's not here, but I'm going to tell you.
This is how I see it. As the person doing the bullying. As the bully.
Yeah, no one ever cares about the bully. You
in your feelings.
No, I just thought that it was cock funny. So shout
out. But thanks for listening.
Shout out, Megan. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you see Monkey Man and then listen to what we say.
Otherwise, you'll never hear this.
That is true.
So if you're listening to this and you don't like Monkey Man,
then you know you're wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just keep that opinion to yourself. anyway. If Megan, for instance, wanted to contact us at Jody, how would you do that?
She can find us on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, YouTube, Bicycle Browser Podcast, and she can write to us bicycle@gmail.com.
We didn't do the Sean Lutz thing.
Yeah, but that's what were we gonna do?
Just say we were there.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I thought maybe, but
no, I forgot about it.
Oh.
Okay. Shout out to Sean Lutz.
Yeah, Sean Lutz and the podcast.
Oh, is it Lutz?
Yeah, I think.
Oh, I thought
all Lutz.
Well, I thought Lutz like stealing. We were at his event, This Is How We Podcast, and we were the featured guests. Well, initially we didn't think we had anything to say, right?
No, but apparently we had quite a lot to say that resonated with people. So shout out to Sean, shout out to The Latitude for hosting the event, the Apartatals, and he also goes by the podcast Catalyst.
Yes, he goes by the podcast Catalyst, and then you can listen to what we say in a serious setting.
Yeah, but it was a quiet event. We had a liquor time. We met some other cool podcasters as well. It was really, really dope.
Oh, yeah. It's a pity Sammy wasn't there, because I feel like he would have been given even more insight into our journey.
He's been doing it for much longer than us.
Not even his journey. I mean, like, our journey, right? Yeah. Like, since the time we met him and stuff. Mm-hmm. But, like, yeah, it was liquor. And I ate those things.
Yeah, and you were sparkling.
I was sparkling. You were sparkling. Yeah. Like we were both sparkling.
Yeah.
Maybe we can do this.
I think so.
But anyway, remember to stay safe and be good for Knox.
And Charlie.